Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is, oh my gosh, Friday the 13th, March 13th, 2020. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle Information Services. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Michael. Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th is crazy. And I'll tell you, you know, you sound like you're right next to me, but you are in Atlanta. And
you want the live on location look at the zombie apocalypse, the Walking Dead version.
Yeah, I some of those listeners out there know that I've told them. I said, look, hey, if the 11s get to 11, the zombies are coming. And that's what they did this week. But I think a zombie came to my house yesterday trying to sell me a vacuum cleaner, which I didn't buy, but they're here, I guess.
And what more appropriate scenario in the world if this isn't like, you know, what you would expect to see in a horror movie?
Yeah.
Have you been to a grocery store lately, Michael?
No, I didn't go.
I hope you're adequately stocked.
I am.
On important things at home, most notably toilet paper, because apparently toilet paper is worth more than gold right now.
No, I got a garage full. You know, that's what when you go to Costco, you don't get you only get to buy a large quantity. So, you know, 2 months ago when my wife was like, "Hey, look, I got all these paper products." And I was like, "What?" Now she's a genius.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, hey, I thought today we would talk about corn, and we're just going to skip over sports because there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm just going to watch reruns of games like my brother-in-law does, which I never understood, but now I understood now because I'm going to act like I haven't seen the game or the results.
Or maybe Netflix watch, and chill. Get into something else.
Yeah, or read a book.
Binge watch some shows. There's some good shows. Read a book.
I like it.
You know, go back to what we did 20, 30 years ago.
There you go. Excellent.
There's options.
Let's talk today about corn and what's happening in the corn market. And then at the end, we'll for those paid IQ platform customers, keep listening because we'll go into our premium content, talk a little bit more about the commercial market, et cetera, and get a more in depth. But Nicole, what's been happening with corn futures over the last week?
The same thing that's been happening with every other commodity market. Yeah. Over the last week. Oh, and equity market.
Yep.
Lots in the way of pressure. The funny thing when it comes to corn, you haven't seen as dramatic of moves in that market as you've seen in others, like, you know, soybean oil, where we're down near 26 cents a pound now. And, you know, who would have thought that with fundamentals giving support, you know, at 30 cents a pound just a few weeks ago. But corn has felt the effect of this ongoing, you know, fear, uncertainty, influence of corona, or I guess we're calling it today, COVID-19, and its effect on or perceived effect on demand. You know, the fundamentals haven't been incredibly bullish anyway for corn. Okay. You're looking at the current crop year. We're seeing some weakness in the export category. We saw ethanol rebound a little bit here, but now we're kind of wondering what's going to happen with that, with energy prices down, which also was very influential on commodity markets this week, including corn, arguably what really aided in sort of seeing corn surpass some of those long established support levels, depending on the contract month you're referring to, beginning under that 370 a bushel. And that is probably just as much in the air as the influence of COVID-19. Really, we're in an environment where the market is kind of throwing fundamentals by the wayside. Sure. But I think that becomes more relevant, obviously, in the long term. Hopefully, this is indeed a rough period that the market will have to endure, and just, you know, people in general will have to endure, but hopefully a temporary one that will turn around at some point. I think the question for corn futures, though, and we can talk more about this on sort of the premium side of this and what those levels may look like, but I think kind of the longer term scenario is obviously, you know, what could be a very bearish scenario for corn. We're looking to get somewhere close to 94 million acres planted this year. You can reflect some increase in demand for every category and still come in at 2.4 billion bushels of ending stocks, create something somewhere around a 15% stocks to use ratio, which, you know, for the corn market would not be considered a bullish stocks to use ratio. And we'll still see, you know, some of that influence from production in South America, but it's just really very little attention or emphasis is being directed towards the fundamentals at the moment. So, you know, we're kind of just waiting to see, and arguably looking at the market and some of the moves today, looking for some new support to be established, but there isn't much to indicate that values are going to trade considerably higher anytime soon.
Okay. And do you want to dive in a little bit about what expectations for maybe planting tensions, give people a sneak peek, or?
Yeah. So, you know, the USDA Ag Outlook Conference a few weeks ago, pegged that at just under 94 million acres. I think that's pretty much what the market had been anticipating, and arguably, at least to some degree, is priced in. And I think what could come into play, obviously, is weather. It's been a little wet or a lot wet, but we're still early. We have a few weeks to go before planting really gets going with haste in the southern regions of the Corn Belt. So we have time to dry out, and, you know, arguably such good moisture levels will be beneficial or could be beneficial ultimately to corn yield, as long as that weather breaks and things dry out a little bit by the time we get to late April, early May, which is very plausible. But, you know, from the standpoint of where farmers traditionally like to go, and especially considering the drop in production last year, I wouldn't expect much of a market reaction unless we fell well outside of those bounds. So, for instance, if we saw planted acreage come in at only 92 million, that would materially change the balance sheet and create a more bullish scenario. Or if we were to just get, you know, some ridiculously, I mean, 94 million acres is pretty substantive.
Sure.
But if we were to get something just, you know, blow it out the water, 95 million acres or something of that sort, you could get some market, certainly get some market additional bearishness in the market and a reaction accordingly.
Okay.
But other than that, I think the market, in terms of what's kind of going to drive price action moving forward, is going to be more focused on how are conditions during the planting season, things looking good, then, you know, it's kind of a business as usual in terms of the idea that the things will stay pretty bearish.
Okay. Great. So before we move over to the premium content, do you want to say anything else for the listeners on corn, or shall we let them enjoy their weekend?
Well, I'll just say this briefly. You know, these, I think everybody recognizes at this point that these markets are volatile and very uncertain. Yep. So, you know, if I have to sum it up in one word, it's vigilance.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on things, and once we flip over here to the premium stuff, Mike, we'll talk about sort of what those levels could be for new crop, as well as any remaining old crop needs.
Excellent. Okay. Well, and those that are listening, like, what are you talking about, premium content? These are our IQ platform subscribers. And so if you're interested, go ahead and check out Mikini-Favel.com for more information, or give us a jingle and we'll walk you through. It's pretty simple. A lot of great information. But as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. And I can't think of a better time to really reflect on what you have in life. And right. I know there's a lot of anxiety out there, but really take the time and be safe and be grateful for what you have and your friends and family.
Absolutely.
There's a ancient Japanese art, Nicole, called form of art called kintsugi. And I want those listeners that are interested in learning more about it, Google it.
And it I think you may have to spell that, Michael.
Yeah. K-I-N-T-S-U-G-I. All right.
There you go.
And sorry, Japanese instructor from 30 years ago, if I mispronounced it, I apologize. But take it live. It talks really cool things about how living your life with faith, hope, and love daily can really make a difference. And I think this is an opportunity for us to do just that
in absolutely
a trying time. So everyone stay safe, enjoy your weekend, and read a book. Until next time, everybody, take care.
See ya.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.